Hey everyone, welcome to episode 42 of Sits and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am joined by Krista. How you doing, Krista?
Oh, you know, not too bad, Casey. Yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. We saw Rise of Skywalker again over the weekend.
We did, and I'll note also that this was the first time we have watched a Star Wars movie together.
Yes, that was special.
So, ending out the saga on a good note.
Yes. Second time for you, third time for me.
Yep.
And we both walked away with, I think we both walked away with different feelings than we had previous.
Yes. And I want to say they were both good.
Yeah, I completely, I liked the movie fully. Like, a lot of the stuff I didn't like the first and second time, I was fine with. A couple of the things, there's a couple of things I still didn't like, but they're not like, certainly not deal breakers for me, certainly not things that like I get worked up over anymore. Like overall, like I'm kind of at peace with this movie.
Exactly. I think, you know, from our conversations and stuff, like I did have a very couple really big issues with Rise of Skywalker, even though I did ultimately, like, as a whole, enjoyed and liked the movie. I did. There was some things that really, you know, grinded my gears, so to speak. So going into the second time, I was interested to see how I was going to walk out feeling now knowing what I know, such as, you know, Finn wasn't trying to profess his love. He was trying to tell her he was force sensitive.
Oh, yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you about because we didn't talk about it after the movie. I wanted to know specifically what you thought of that part.
And it made so much sense knowing that piece of information.
It made his part much more enjoyable.
Yes, it did, because it also made me highlight and like kind of like pick up the little instances where he's like off by himself with somebody else, not even near Rey, and he'll like do or say something that's like you can kind of tell like that's something or someone would do or say if they knew like about the Force and felt Force sensitive, in my opinion.
Right.
So like that stuck out to me now, and it kind of all then made sense. So I no longer had an issue with that. The Palpatine like ritual, that whole where he painstakingly slowly said each line drawn out, like it didn't really bother me the second go around. I chalked it up to basically what I chalk up most Star Wars dialogue is into, is like, yes, every now and then it's gonna seem a little cheesy at times, but we've had that since the original trilogies.
This time around, I gotta say, his dialogue was not as bad to me. At no point during the movie did I sit there and think, oh my god, this is bad. Like, that, those thoughts, like, never came into my head this time.
Agreed. I still didn't think it was great, but, like, it's not, it wasn't noticeably horrific.
The only time I came close to getting a negative feeling was the part where he's like, you're a Palpatine. Even then, like, I wasn't thinking like, oh, this was bad. I was thinking like, I'm sitting there in the theater thinking to myself how like, I still watch Empire Strikes Back, and when it gets to the I am your father part, like, that still gives me chills. And like, I'm kind of at peace with the idea that like, that scene is never going to give me those feelings. But I mean, it is what it is.
I think it's one of the things that, and I don't think it's necessarily so much that she's a Palpatine that it's just like kind of that's what makes it off-putting. I think it's, you can tell they kind of were trying for like that moment again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something hard to do when it's already been like one of the, if not one of the biggest fan theory out there.
Right.
So like, I don't know. I feel like in part it's kind of what we all expected. So yes, I don't think the moment would necessarily hit as hard. But at the same time, I think they could have definitely did it better.
It helped me that like you sent me links to stories afterwards with like fan theories from like 2016, guessing that she was a Palpatine, and like seeing like how much of it like fits, and like I can understand how that's probably what like J.J. Abrams and like Lawrence Kasdan were going for from the beginning, and like even though like Rian Johnson didn't set it up to, you know, to pay that off in the end, it's still kind of like I can kind of look at like her story in The Last Jedi as more of a detour to that ending and not so much as like something that runs counter to what JJ was doing in this movie.
Yeah, I think it was kind of, this is terrible, but it's almost like, in my opinion, I can kind of, like, to me, it almost seems like, and this is probably completely, like, off, like, and wrong, but it almost seems like Rian Johnson knew going in what the, you know, the end game for Rey's character was.
Right.
But you also know it's going to be something that people are going to want addressed at some point in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So you have to put it in, and rather than him, because maybe he doesn't agree with it, and thinks it's stupid that she's a Palpatine. Like, I mean, I don't think it's stupid, but I could have done without it.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, you know, he felt strongly against that, or, you know, he was like, you know what? I think it's dumb. I don't want to do that. I'm going to make it to a point where I answer the question without answering the question. So, right. And he made it in a way that it was super easy for them to go back and retcon that.
Yeah. And you can still, I mean, like, you can watch The Last Jedi and, like, you can watch the scene where she's sitting on the rock and he's, like, telling her to reach out to the Force and he, like, gets scared and he's like, you went straight to the dark. You didn't even try to pray that. Like, you can look at that stuff now and be like, well, that's because she's a Palpatine. Like, that does make sense. And, like,
so, which is why I came up with that theory that JJ was like, you know what, I understand if this is how it has to be. So I have to hidden some seeds.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, he was like, but I'm not going to be the one to be like, yes. I'm not going to set it up for a big dramatic reveal, so to speak.
Yeah. And I still think that, like, maybe The Last Jedi would have gone differently if Rian Johnson knew that, like, JJ was coming back to, you know, do the third movie. Like, he still wrote that movie for, like, with the intention of Colin Trevorrow coming in and doing his own story. Like, if he knew JJ was going to come back, I'm sure he would have done things a little differently. But, I mean, we'll never know. So, we got what we got. I'm satisfied with it. I thought it was a satisfying ending.
Agreed. 100%. And, I will say, one other thing that really changed for me going, after the second viewing was the CGI of Leia in the flashback scene.
Yeah.
I was very unhappy with it before, largely because it was so well done for Rogue One. So, like, it bothered me, and especially because Luke's looked good. Like, it didn't look awful, and I felt Leia's looked really, really rough, and it bothered me.
Mm.
So now knowing after that what I knew, where it wasn't actually, you know, old footage or anything like that, they literally used Billy Lord as a stand-in, essentially.
Right.
So, like, that, yes, it's going to be harder than to pull that off, and I don't even care anymore because I think that's awesome that they let her do that scene.
Yeah. And I'm sure, okay, so, like, I don't really know anything about doing CGI in movies, but, like, I have noticed, just, like, from a layman's point of view, that, like, it does look better when you de-age the actor versus trying to, like, put, like, that face over someone else's face.
The best example is Fast and the Furious.
Okay, I haven't seen that, so I need that example.
Why can't I think of, I can't remember the guy.
Yeah.
Paul Walker.
Okay. Did they de-age Paul Walker?
No, when he died.
Okay.
They were in the middle of filming that last movie and something, and they needed a way to like write out his character from it because he died before it was finished.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want to kill his character off. So instead they got,
because that's kind of classless.
So instead, they got his brother to come on, and basically they did a scene very similar to the first, like one of the final, like one of the most famous shots in Fast and the Furious, where you have, you know, the two cars, one with Vin Diesel and one with Paul Walker's character, driving up next to each other parallel, essentially. So they did a shot like that, and essentially it was like he's driving off into the sunset to have a family and be happy. But they used, for the scene where they're like, they look at his face and everything, they used his, I believe it was his brother, and then CGI'd over it, and it looked rough. But when you de-age them, they look so much better. So.
Like, and a good example is, of course, you know, we've got like a side-by-side comparison. Like, Luke looks really good. And he is, because it's Mark Hamill being de-aged. And Leia doesn't look quite as good because it's not Carrie Fisher being de-aged. Great example, I'm thinking of, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where, you've got the first Ant-Man movie, and at the beginning of that movie, Michael Douglas looks really good.
Yes, that's another good example.
Yeah, Captain America: Civil War, like the one scene where Robert Downey Jr. is kind of like in that AI scenario where he's like saying goodbye to his mom and dad, and like
Yes.
they de-aged him there, and he looks great. He looks like a young Robert Downey Jr. So like, yeah, I'm guessing just like de-aging is probably easier to do than putting that face over like a different person.
Because it's never going to fit.
No, it's never gonna fit. It's never gonna like. And I had that problem with like Tarkin in Rogue One, because like, I mean, a lot of people praise the CGI there, and it's good. I'll give them that. It's good CGI, but like you can tell. You can very much tell it's like not really Peter Cushing in those scenes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I liked that scene. I really did. I thought it was good. So, where does Star Wars go from here?
That's the question, isn't it?
I mean,
What is next?
we're done with the Skywalker saga, and I'm completely ready to break free from like this era of Star Wars, and I wonder if Lucasfilm is as ready to do that, because I mean like every upcoming project that we know about is, you know, set within like the Skywalker saga time frame. Like we've got the Padme prequel novel coming out. We've got, you know,
Well,
the closest thing we have to breaking free from the Skywalker saga is like the new Thrawn book, because it takes place like before any of this happens. It takes place in the unknown regions. As far as we know, there's not going to be any Skywalker saga characters in it.
to be fair, the new Padme novel is actually set before
Yeah, I mean like
the prequel. So it's like it precedes it, but it's so close. But it does. It precedes the whole Skywalker debacle.
I wonder like how far back that's gonna go, because I don't think she was queen for very long once the Phantom Menace rolled around. I kind of got the impression she was a newer queen, and that's kind of like why Palpatine probably thought he can test her in this moment.
Hang on. I'm gonna try to look that up, so.
Okay. And I can totally see that movie or that book kind of like maybe ending with the invasion of the Trade Federation on Naboo. Like I can kind of see like where
Yeah.
it's. But by the way, speaking of the upcoming Padme book, how's your reading of Phasma going? I'm really looking forward to starting the Thrawn book the day it comes out.
You, Casey, it's not. I made a bold claim, and it's been difficult to follow up with. I'm not gonna lie. So she became queen when she was 14.
And how does it say?
So
Okay, how old is she in that movie?
we're gonna find out. Old is that May. Supposed to be in episode one.
I'm gonna guess she is at most 15.
14.
She's 14? Okay. So this is like about as close as you can get to the saga with being and still be like a prequel.
Still
to the saga.
Be not in the saga, pretty yeah. much.
That's like so. That's like yeah. That's my kind of theory that like she was a young queen and like that's why Palpatine thought he can test her. Like he probably didn't take her as seriously as he should have.
I bet you good money. I wonder if he helped lobby to get her to be queen.
We'll find out. That's
because think about it. They had a very like. You could tell in the prequels they had a very respectful relationship.
Yeah.
She clearly valued his counsel and everything. So it's almost like, and I hate to use this term because it alludes to horrific things, but like groomed her to become queen.
Yeah.
Because if he helps, like, you know, is her champion, so to speak, and, you know, steps up and comes forward to her, especially if he is a politician at that time. And really lobbies and pushes for her to become the next queen, that's basically going to help win him into the inner circle. And then from there, once she's queen, as we see, he's in the inner circle pretty much.
Right.
The Phantom Menace. But so he has that position and he can then very easily manipulate things.
I kind of wonder if, like, that was something that backfired for him or if he had always intended... Like, I kind of look at it as maybe in the beginning he kind of thought of her as kind of like a person that he can just, like, get into a position of power and then, like, throw away, mm-hmm. so to speak. Because, like, I think that, like, he had every intention of, like, having her die in the invasion. Like, whether, like, oh, by... Sure. Yeah, and I'm sure that, like, he was going to kind of, like, twist that to his own means to become, like, the Chancellor of the Republic. Like, I could kind of see how... it going that way and it didn't work out, so like that completely backfired on him.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think of that. That's crazy. But makes sense.
And then he spent the next 10 years trying to kill her and it still never worked out.
Yeah, because I mean at that point what's he supposed to do? He's like, shit. And then it's not that she just, you know, from that point on, continued to like him. No, I think as especially in towards the end of Revenge of the Sith, you kind of see her very much disagreed and
yeah,
on the different end of the political spectrum than yeah. him.
And you know, like he had to get her out of the way because we know that she was never going to support him, like getting the emergency powers that.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks gave him an Attack of the Clones.
But it gave us one of the most brilliant lines ever.
This is how liberty dies.
Yes, with thunderous applause. Thunderous applause.
Yeah.
I love that line.
I always thought
that might be my favorite line in the entire prequel trilogy.
Your favorite line in the entire prequel trilogy. Mine is probably, I don't like sand. No, my favorite line in the prequel trilogy, I don't know, that's a tough one. Probably like the whole, you were my brother, Anakin, I loved you. It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them. Like that whole like moment is probably
That entire scene, like not scene, like that entire like whole entire sequence from, you know, the moment when he's strangling Padme and Obi-Wan emerges and does his patented disrobe. You know shit's gonna go down.
Another one of my favorite lines is just five words. Whenever Anakin's like, you turned her against me, and Obi-Wan just like, you have done that yourself. Like that.
Yes.
Right there, like, you know he means business.
So like that right there, I can't. That's the only reason, like, I love that entire sequence so much that it's my favorite sequence out of the entire prequels, and it's probably up there, honestly, in top five for me at Star Wars all time.
Yeah. Sometimes whenever I start to think that maybe another character is my favorite Star Wars character, and eventually I'll come around and I'll watch that sequence again, and it kind of like resets me back to having Obi-Wan as my favorite character.
It's phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal.
I really hope after I really hope that, like, the Obi-Wan series enhances my love of Obi-Wan.
I feel like the fact that Ewan McGregor is coming back for this makes me so excited.
And based on the episodes of The Mandalorian she's directed, I mean, like, I'm sure Deborah Chow is going to knock this out of the park.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so pumped for it.
When is that? I gotta see. Is that coming in? I think that's coming in 2001. I don't think that's coming in 2002. I'm looking it up right now.
As am I. It's not even, it was filming in 2020, so yeah, I would be shocked.
Yeah, that, I'm sure that, and then, like, the Cassian series will come in 2002. I don't think that, like, or 2021. I don't think they're going to come in 2020. The only 2020 stuff we're getting is season 2 of The Mandalorian and season 7 of The Clone Wars.
Yes, which... I mean, I'm just pumped that we're getting season 2 of The Mandalorian this soon. I figured we were going to have to wait a year.
I mean, we kind of are. I mean, it's coming at the end of 2020, well, so we are...
Sorry, late. That's not what I mean. I meant, like, have to... Like, we would completely skip 2020. Like, I thought we weren't going to get a second season until 21.
Yeah. Right now, the Obi-Wan series is still TBA, so, like, I'm sure it'll be 2021, but there's nothing set in stone yet. We are getting some Marvel stuff in 2020, so that's something I'm looking forward to.
Speaking of Cassian show, I'm just pumped that K2SO is going to be back for it.
Yes.
I love that droid.
He's probably my favorite droid in Star Wars. And I'm hoping this series just reinforces that.
I agree with that statement.
Okay, this is like totally...
Casey's jaw just dropped. I wish everybody could have seen it, because it dropped.
This is totally unrelated to Star Wars, but we, in 2020, we are getting a Chip and Dale series on Disney Plus, and it's going to be 39 episodes.
Oh my gosh! I'm pumped! And people want to bash Disney. Come on. They gave us the gargoyles again, folks. Gargoyles, underrated, great show.
I get they own everything now, and they're kind of like, they own all of our content. Yeah, but my god, like, still love it. We're gonna get, this month we're supposed to find out what Project Luminous is. That could be like the one thing that breaks us free from the Skywalker saga, because I'm hearing... This is, like, just total speculation, but, like, I'm hearing it's supposed to take place during the High Republic era, which is about, like, 400 to 500 years before the Skywalker saga.
Yep, so you know it's peak.
Yep, and that is, like, totally new territory for Star Wars, because they didn't even explore that era in Legends very much. So, like, we're getting, like, new stuff now.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Casey.
Yeah.
We touched on that last episode.
Did we? I don't remember that.
Like, almost verbatim. When we were talking about what's coming in 2020.
I do not. Oh, okay. When we talked about Project Luminous.
Yeah.
I'm just excited for it.
I think you, like, had an article that you pulled that, like, directly from, because you were super pumped about it.
I just want to know. I want to see the budding romance of Yoda and Yaddle, and maybe, like, we'll see where baby Yoda came from.
I sent you the meme, right, of it's Padme, like, giving childbirth, and then it's like, Padme, are you sure, like, Anakin's the father? She's like, yes, of course. And then he's, like, sitting there holding baby Yoda, and then it's, like, a picture underneath it is, like, of Yoda. For whatever reason, he looks like he's smirking. It's great.
That was great. You've texted me some great stuff this week. The Zendaya thing was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was hysterical.
That looked like every video game that's tried to convince us that, like, the boob armor is going to be, like,
a thing,
is gonna, like, protect you, like, that's what she's wearing.
Agreed. What other good
things? Just, Yoda, in that picture, Yoda just looks like a proud dad. He looks like he had a little twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, but I can also hear him doing his,
Speaking of Baby Yoda, like, Cam finally watched the season finale of The Mandalorian, and when the stormtrooper punched Baby Yoda, she reached over, she was so angry, she grabbed my arm and she dug her fingernails into me, and it really, really hurt. Like, she loves Baby Yoda.
Everybody loves Baby Yoda.
I told her about the plush, like, Baby Yoda that's coming out, and she said that she's, like, no shit gonna carry it around with her everywhere like it's a real baby, and she's like, it's gonna be embarrassing.
That's incredible. The one lawyer at the firm, she's, like, not much older than, like, I am. I think, like, by a couple years, maybe. So it's funny because she just, like, hangs out. She's, like, the only attorney that eats lunch with all of the legal assistants. Mm-hmm. Like, she actually comes out, eats, and, like, bullshits because she's, like, our age.
Right.
So she came running. I wasn't at my desk, but I'm walking up to my desk, and I see her come running around the corner, look at my desk. I'm not there, and she goes running around. Like, she's like, where? And I'm like, I'm right here. What do you need? And she was like, they're making Baby Yoda's going to Build-A-Bear. And she just yelled it, and I was like, okay. That's how I found out about Baby Yoda going to Build-A-Bear. But the best part, I was like, you don't even know what Star Wars is. She's like, no, but I know what Baby Yoda is, and I'm invested. And I was like, okay. She's like, I will die for him. And I was like, all right. And I was like, did you watch The Man? She's like, no, but I will die for him. So
it is amazing how many people I know, several people who do not watch Star Wars, and they are somehow Baby Yoda fans. And it's very strange how many people I've heard say, I either hear people say, I will die for Baby Yoda, or I will kill for Baby Yoda.
It's usually, yeah, one or the other. And yeah. I would do both, honestly.
What did the one guy, the one attorney who has, like, all the Star Wars collectibles, what did he think of the movie?
So he actually...
Don't tell me he hated it. I'll...
No.
Okay.
And he is a vehement hater of The Last Jedi.
Aww.
Hates The Last Jedi. So, and because he's not spoiler adverse either, so anytime, you know, you best believe any spoiler that me and you were discussing, I also was discussing with him at work.
Okay.
We would have, like, lengthy conversations in his office, like, around the 3 o'clock hour of me just sitting there and us bullshitting about Star Wars theories. And mind you, throughout the day, he'll be emailing me random Star Wars collectibles and Williams and Sonoma shit that he finds online, or calling me into his office to view it. But we were talking about it, and all of the spoilers that ended up being true were, like, pretty much true. When he heard them, he was like, I'm going to hate this movie. And then he saw the movie and he was like, I actually liked the movie. He enjoyed it. He was like, is it my favorite? No. He's like, do I have issues with it? Yes. He's like, but, like, with The Last Jedi, and he said, even to a point with The Force Awakens, like, if they're on, it's not one that he is like, yes, I'm going to sit here and watch it for sure. He'll put it on the background perhaps, or with The Last Jedi, he won't even do that. But he was like, the Rise of Skywalker, he would sit and actually watch it if he saw that it was on. So he liked it.
Okay. Why? Okay, so is he at least, like, one of the reasonable Last Jedi haters? Or
yes.
Okay. Okay, because yes. There's some crazy Last Jedi haters out there.
No. It's all reasonable dislike.
Okay.
For the Last Jedi.
That's good. That's good. So then, like, it doesn't, like, kill my, like, thoughts on humanity.
No, we're all solid.
Okay. What else we got? We came into this episode with absolutely no plan whatsoever.
We really didn't. This is the quality podcast you guys are getting.
We're good at our tangents. We do enjoy a good tangent.
It's because they're fun. The discussions, they can go. You never know where they're going to go. It's like Mad Libs.
Did you read episode 2 of the Kylo Ren comic yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, so that's off the table.
I'm sorry. I'm slacking.
We are also an up-to-date Star Wars podcast.
Sometimes. When Krista gets her shit together.
I am almost done with another Star Wars book.
God damn, Casey.
What? I'm cheating because I'm doing audiobooks. So, like, I listen to them on my ride into work and my ride home, and I listen to them when I'm, like, when I go running and stuff. So, like, I, like, you know, like, I'm taking all the time I'm spending, like, not reading a physical book, like, I'm finding the time to do an audiobook.
See, so. I know I've said in the past that I can't do them when I can't do podcasts. Well, I've slowly started to do podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My favorite soccer team is the Wolverhampton Wanderers, also known as the Wolves. That play in England's Premier League. They are not a big club like Manchester United, Manchester City, Tottenham, Liverpool, etc., etc. So coverage of them can be kind of scarce, so to speak, despite the fact that we're kicking ass and having a great year, and kicked ass and had a great year last year and the year before. So that was in the championship, so nobody really cares. But it can be hard to get information, so there's a couple podcasts that I know that always have stuff that necessarily they wouldn't put in papers and everything. So I decided one day to give it a try, and I found I can actually like sort of listen to the podcasts. I don't remember everything, but it goes a lot better than I expected it to. Maybe I'll give audiobooks a whirl.
Maybe that would Do you drive to work or do you like ride a bus or
drive?
Okay. I mean, you can like listen to them in your car.
Yeah, cuz that's what killed me is when I used to work in my old job, I did take a bus. So I would read to and from. And I was able to get more stuff done. As you remember, I read several books like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm behind on my podcast. Since I started doing the audiobooks for the Star Wars books, I fell behind on my podcast. I need to catch up. There's like several Star Wars podcasts I really enjoy that I need to catch up on again. And then like there's a I've never done like a dieting or fitness podcast, but there's one I want to check out that just started called American Glutton.
Interesting. Which,
are you familiar with the actor Ethan Suplee?
No, but that's a funny last name.
You would. Okay, I want to say you would recognize him if you saw him, but then, like, that might be the generational gap coming to rear its ugly head again.
Quick, I have Google up. Ethan.
And then his last name. Let me see how his last name is
spelled. Suplee?
Yes.
Oh, I know who that is.
So, like.
He was in Boy Meets World.
Okay, so I'm gonna text you like a recent picture of him because like dude does not look like that anymore.
Yeah, he's like all jacked and he has a beard.
Okay, so you see so like he did like a dieting podcast now, like diet and exercise that I want to check out because like
that's wild.
Yeah, like he does not look anything like what he looked like before.
That's wild.
Yeah, if I'm gonna take like exercise advice from someone like. That's who I want to take it from.
This is terrible to say, but it's probably true. I bet an added perk of that beard, like actually growing it out, helps hide any loose skin.
Yeah, that may be why he did it. But then, like, I'm looking at this one picture, and, like, I don't know how much loose skin he can have. Like, he's got all the veins popping out and everything.
Yeah, so yeah, I take that back as I continue to look at other pictures. Because damn.
You kind of got to wonder, and, like, I mean, like, he's, like, a, you know, big actor and everything, I'm sure.
He was in American History X. Yeah. I like that movie.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone say that about American History X. That's like, that's
That
one
a
of
weird thing to say.
No, because I like the movie too. I feel weird saying I like it though. That's it feels like one of those movies that you shouldn't say you like. Like, I respect American History X, or like I don't know. It's a well done movie.
It's a very well, being the history geek in me
Yeah.
and that kind of stuff, and I thought it was a very well done and accurate portrayal
Yeah.
of what, you know, white supremacists and stuff and the violence that they can cause.
Yeah. That's like,
Like,
we were having a conversation at work one day about movies and just like all like the different movies we've seen and movies we like and everything, and like movies that like it came around to like movies that make us uncomfortable, like even like great movies that make us uncomfortable, and like Schindler's List came up. And this girl perked up. She's like, "Ooh, I love Schindler's List." I'm like, "Really? Like, that's your like it's a great movie, but that's your reaction to it?"
yeah, like when I say that I love or I really like American History X, that's not me saying I really like it, I watch it all the time. That's me
Yeah.
saying like I really like that movie. It's well done. Like if it just happens to randomly come on, or you know, I'm looking to watch good film, I'll toss it on.
I think that is one of Edward Norton's best roles. And
It's a
like
really good role.
seeing those pictures of him like right now, like it kind of occurred to me that like if they ever like did a reboot of it, or like if they ever did a sequel to it, like Ethan Suplee could kind of like take on the Derek Vineyard role. Like, he jacked up that
Oh my
much.
gosh. Yep. That's wild. I didn't even think of that. That's absolutely nuts.
I wonder how that affects like his career, because like he always, I think like probably because of like the way he looked before, he always got cast as like the lovable like dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, have you ever seen like You ever watch, you ever seen My Name is Earl?
Possibly, but I can't remember.
Like, it's a show about this, like, these two brothers, and, like, the one, it's a comedy, and, like, the one gets hit, the one, like, hits the lottery. They're both, like, terrible people. And, like, the one, he, like, gets a scratch off and wins, like, $500,000, and, like, immediately gets hit by a car and loses his lottery ticket. And then, like, he starts to, like, he's introduced to the concept of, like, karma. And so, like, he's made a list of, like, all of the terrible things he's done to people. And each episode is him, like, trying to make amends to one person for, like, a terrible thing that he's done. So he's trying to, like, pretty much, like, balance out his karma. But, like, Ethan Suplee, like, played his brother, and he played like the idiot, like the real lovable idiot. And I just like, I can't picture him getting a role like that now.
Yeah, the most prominent role that I can remember for him is Boy Meets World.
The one I think of whenever I think of him is Mallrats.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so Mallrats probably came out, I want to say like 94, 95. And it's about like a bunch of like early like 20 something people hanging out in a mall, and he plays a guy who is he like stands at this kiosk that sells like pictures, and he spends the whole movie staring at this magic eye, trying like, you know what the magic eye is? Do they still have those? The kind of things, they're kind of like just like blotches of like color and everything, and like you stare at them and like images pop out at you. Oh my God, Google it.
I am.
You're making me feel so old. But like, so like he's staring at this magic eye trying to like get the image to pop
Oh,
up, and like,
okay. I didn't know what that's what they're called, but
yeah,
yes,
okay. So
I know
like,
what you're talking
but like
about.
the running gag throughout the movie is like everyone who he's like trying so hard, but then like everyone who just like kind of like comes next to him and just like points out, they're like, oh, it's a sailboat. And like everyone like immediately sees it except for him. And he gets like so frustrated. And like one of the things that like one of the scenes I will always remember from him is like this little kid like comes up to him and the little kid's like, oh, it's a schooner. And he's like, you dumb bastard. It's not a schooner. It's a sailboat. And then like the little kid's like, a schooner is a sailboat, you stupid head. And then he's like, you know what? There is no Easter Bunny over there. That's just a guy in a suit. And so, like, anytime I think of him, like, that's what comes to mind.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Got off the Star Wars topic.
Just a little bit.
So you've never heard of have you heard of Kevin Smith? Jay and Silent Bob?
Yes.
Okay, so, like, Kevin Smith was Silent Bob, and he did the first shared universe that, like, I ever, like, watched, because, like, he made, like, all of these movies that were interconnected, and he made, like, a movie called Clerks. You've heard of Clerks? Clerks, yeah. Was his first one. Mallrats was the follow-up, and then, like, he did another movie called Chasing Amy, which starred Ben Affleck and Joey Lawrence Adams, which...
Nope.
You would probably hate that movie because it's about...
Never watched it.
You would hate that movie.
What's it about?
You would have serious problems with that movie. So it's about Ben Affleck, who is a comic book artist who falls in love with a lesbian. And, like, quote-unquote, turns her. Yeah, I can see your face right now. So, like, you would hate that movie. And it was kind of like... 90s. It was like a 90s feminist movie. Yeah, don't bother with that one. But like there was
never waste my time.
There were like Star Wars references like scattered throughout like all of his movies, because like Kevin Smith is a big nerd. And like I remember like in one of his movies, it was called Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which like the title itself is a Star Wars reference. Mm-hmm. But he had like in Chasing Amy, I said, like, Ben Affleck played a comic book artist. Like, he did a comic book called Blunt Man and Chronic. So, like, in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, like, they're making a movie out of Blunt Man and Chronic, which are two characters based on Jay and Silent Bob. So, like, they go to Hollywood to, like, try to stop the movie. And, like, the villain in the movie is played by Mark Hamill.
That's great.
And they get into, like, a lightsaber fight, but, like, the hilts of the lightsabers are, like, bongs. It's great. And, yeah. Okay, we got really off topic now.
Yeah, we really did. Damn.
This was fun.
It was. It was a good time.
Do we have anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay.
At least I don't.
Well, all right, everyone, thank you if you're still listening, thank you very much. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. You can check us out on Spreaker.com. I guess I've been saying you can check us out on Google Play. Me not being an Android user, I guess it's Google Podcasts, which is an app that you can get from the Google Play Store. Krista, where can people find you?
I'm also on Twitter, at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Bye.